Good morning, Redeemer family. I hope you all are doing well. Susanna and I and our family miss you all very much. We miss gathering together, and our hope is that sooner rather than later we'd be able to gather again for worship together. I was thinking of the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the churches in Thessalonica when he says this, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face." And I know this desire of Paul's here to see his brothers in Thessalonica, I know this resonates with many of us. We're separated in person. My prayer, and I know it's a prayer of many of us, is that we would not be separated in heart, that we would connect with one another, that we would reach out to each other, check in with each other, that we would really be the church to each other during this time. Even though we are separated in person, we do not need to be separated in heart. And there should be this desire in each of us to see each other. If we are the community that God has called us to, then there should be this great desire and this great longing to see each other face to face again. And I pray that God helps us during this time to remain connected in heart. Well, this morning I wanted to lead us in a consideration of Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and Jesus and true rest for your soul. The theme is Jesus and true rest for your soul. So Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, these are the words of Jesus. Let me read them for us. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for this time. We thank you that even though we are separated in person, we can be connected in heart. And we pray that we as a church would love one another during this time, that we would still maintain our friendships, our relationships, our care for one another, and that you would uphold our community, uphold our church and the churches around us during this time, God. Please help us, and we pray that you would lead us through this, that we would be able to gather again together as your body. Father, we thank you that we can study your word and consider it in this way. And as I preach and as your people listen and watch this, we pray that your spirit, your Holy Spirit, would work and glorify Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Well, this is a unique time with unique challenges for all of us. And in this moment, Jesus comes and offers rest. As we come to this passage, we're coming before Jesus, and Jesus clearly offers true rest, rest for anyone and everyone. All who are weary and heavy laden or burdened can find rest in him. He invites all to come to him to find rest. Well, I'd like to begin this morning, before we walk through the passage, I'd like to begin with a story or a parable. Jesus often told parables to explain and press home his teaching. He gave us stories because they were memorable, and we can carry them with us. We can think back and remember stories more than we remember certain other forms of teaching. What did I preach on 2 weeks ago, right? Do you know? If I told you a story, you could remember that. So my goal in this sermon and in the beginning of this sermon is to start with a parable, because as I was thinking about the beauty of this passage, I wanted all of us, both young and old, to be able to take this with us, and I pray that the story would help. Well, first, before I tell my story, a little background to it. I've been listening to a series of lectures on presidential leadership that I have found absolutely fascinating. And as you would assume on lectures on presidential leadership, one of the presidents that is covered is Abraham Lincoln. And the teacher of these lectures portrays Abraham Lincoln as an amazingly kind and gracious man, and I think he was. and he's portrayed as the most gentle and humble of leaders. And one quote from these lectures that really blew me away and encouraged and challenged me, because I don't think like this, I hadn't heard it before, but Lincoln said at one point during his presidency about a certain individual, he said, "I don't like that man. I must get to know him better." He said, "I don't like that man. I must get to know him better." Kind of the opposite of the way many of us think, but it pointed to how gentle and humble Lincoln was as a leader. So in pondering these words of Jesus in Matthew 11, I thought of these characteristics of Abraham Lincoln, and it led me to my story. These good characteristics in Lincoln are just a tiny picture of Jesus' amazing leadership, of Jesus' humility and gentleness with his people. So here is my story. It's April 26, 1864. There was a young Union soldier fighting for the Union Army and for President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. Because this is how soldiers in the Union Army thought about their cause, they were fighting for their president, Abraham Lincoln. So for days, our soldier has been marching, and he is tired, very, very weighed down and weary. He's weary from the miles and miles of marching. He's weary from the rain all day. Everything on him is wet. He's weary of his fellow soldiers living in such close quarters. He's weary especially of the ones he camps with each night. They're dirty and they smell. Now, to be fair, our soldier smells too, but that doesn't bother him as much. He's weary of the food. He longs for just one home-cooked meal from his mother. He's weary of the coffee. Right? Not this brown water stuff that they give him. He wants real coffee. He's weary of the loneliness. No letters from home for weeks. So the isolation, the loneliness continues for him from day after day. So our soldier, you should get the picture in my story, is very weary and burdened down with cares. Well, on this night, April 26, 1864, the whole camp is astir. It seems alive. Something is going on, but he hasn't heard anything yet. So as he's resting in his tent after a long march, a little message boy runs up to his tent. And at first, our soldier is just annoyed. He thinks, "What now? Can I just get some seconds of rest before dinner?" But the message boy rushes in and hands our soldier an invitation. And it's an invitation to come to the center of camp, an invitation to come and dine with President Abraham Lincoln. So our soldier finally realizes why the whole camp is abuzz. And Honest Abe is here, he thinks. And he has invited me to come to his tent. So our soldier washes up a little. However they did that, I don't know. He follows the message boy to the center of camp. His face is aglow. The weariness is moving to the background of his mind. He gets to the president's tent and he's greeted by Lincoln himself. And the president welcomes him in. And there inside the president's tent, there's a feast set up at the table with warm and fresh food and real coffee and even a little dessert. And he has a meal with President Abraham Lincoln. And then the president says to our soldier that in communication with his colonel 2 weeks ago, he asked the colonel for just one common soldier, just a name, no requirements, no special accomplishments in this soldier. The president just wanted one kind of random soldier, and our soldier's name happened to come up. So that is why President Lincoln invited our soldier to his tent for dinner. And then after dinner, he gives our soldier a place to take a warm bath, a new set of clothes and boots, dry ones, one night of sleep in the adjoining tent without his smelly fellow soldiers, and a stack of correspondence from home. What did the president give our soldier? The president gave him some rest. The next morning, the president thanked our soldier and then sent him back to his regiment, back to marching, back to the battles. Our soldier's calling remained. He was still a soldier. He didn't get to go home when he got this rest. He didn't get to go home. But his whole calling, his view, the view of his view of his calling drastically changed, was forever changed because of his president and the invitation and the rest that President Lincoln gave him. His calling was forever changed. My story doesn't perfectly explain all that Jesus offers in our passage, but it's a tiny picture of the rest that Jesus gives and his care for his people. So there are four important elements in Jesus' words that I want us to consider. Four important elements in this passage. First, weariness. Secondly, Jesus' invitation. Third, rest. And fourth, calling, or our yoke, that Christ calls it our yoke here. So first, our weariness. The verse in the ESV is, all who labor and are heavy laden. The NIV and other translations translate this first word as weary instead of labor. And I think that's what Jesus had in mind here. Weariness, our need, more than our work, even though our work often leads to great weariness and need. So weariness and being heavy laden or burdened down with care. I don't know that I need to describe this much for us. I'm assuming that many of us know what Jesus is talking about, all who are weary and burdened. It kind of defines life for many of us. Often we get to a point of weariness and being burdened down with care. Our situations and circumstances can often be heavy burdens on us. They make us weary. The questions we face about our lives, is this what I should be doing with my life? Is this right for me? Should I be here? Should I be doing this? These concerns and questions can be like burdens on our backs. Heavy laden is a good description of how life is sometimes. Our health, the health issues of those around us, a weight of weariness. Our relationships and the difficulties that we have in marriage or in parenting or in other friendships, they can be difficult. They can be a weight upon us. The needs of others around us can lead to weariness. This has been mentioned a few times, but we feel it acutely now that the new schooling regime is a change for us. And there's much on many of the moms because of this. And that can be, I think I've seen this, lead to weariness. It can be difficult. The economic impact and the uncertainty of our future can be a heavy burden, make us weary. And then also how worried I am about the economic impact. And then that makes us weary with our own hearts. Why don't I trust? Why can't I stop thinking about it? Is this exposing some idolatries in my heart? Why am I so afraid? This itself can become a heavy burden. Why am I so concerned about this? Our own heart's desires, the temptations we face, the sins we struggle with and sometimes give into, the habits that grip us, the lack of self-control that we see at times in our lives, our own hearts lead to weariness. They can be a heavy burden upon us. We so often manufacture our own heavy burdens, and then we have to live with those burdens. We feel like we're out of control. And even more, I think, acute during this time, for many, the way we spend our time can be a heavy burden upon us now. Those who have extra time, I've heard from many who have extra time, and trying to struggle with how to spend this time. If we spend this time just focusing on ourselves, if we just pursue comfort and entertainment and ease, this quickly turns to boredom. And another thing to be burdened down with, it leads to weariness. As one friend wrote in a text to me this week, a day of Netflix leaves me feeling exhausted and worthless, not rested. So even pursuing ease can lead to weariness. So these are just some of the ways, as I brainstormed this and thought about this, that we experience weariness and heaviness in our lives. I don't think we have to spend much time trying to explain this, because we all know what this feels like. This is life, so often weary and burdened down with care. But secondly, after weariness, we see Jesus' invitation. His invitation comes to those who are weary and heavy laden. Comes to those who are weary and burdened down with care. He says, come to me, all in this category. What category? All are welcome to come who are weary and heavy laden. So what are the requirements to come? Weariness. Being burdened down with care. These are the only requirements, is to feel your need for help because the burden is so heavy, because you feel so tired. What are the requirements to come, to respond to this invitation? It's to feel your need of Him. That's the beauty of what we see in Jesus and His ministry to us. He's done everything. He just simply says, come. Right? We don't have to clean ourselves up to come. We don't have to add a few things to our resume in order to come. We don't have to kind of hide things in our heart and then come. Jesus says, come. He calls us to come as we are. Come, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come freely, Jesus is saying. He invites us to come into this rest, this gift He wants to give us. This is not something we earn. So we see weariness. Jesus' invitation comes to the weary and the burden. And third, this rest. This rest. What is Jesus saying here? Two times in these verses, verse 28 and verse 29. First, He says, I will give you rest. Verse 29, you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. So what is this rest Jesus offers? It's rest from the weariness. It's rest, relief from the burden. But we think about life and even the things I describe that make us weary. We come to Jesus, we know Jesus, we walk with Jesus, and life still can lead to being weary and feeling burdened down. So these things that mark our weariness remain. They don't seem to disappear as soon as we come to Jesus. We know they don't. So where is the rest? Here, very clearly, is how Jesus gives us rest. Your situation, your circumstances may not change. Sometimes they do. Sometimes God relieves us. We cry out to Him in prayer and He changes our circumstances. Sometimes they don't. Often they seem not to change. But Jesus gives relief and rest from the crippling anxiety and fear that weighs you down in the midst of your circumstances. His promises come, and you can hold on to His promises, His presence. He is with us. This removes every reason for anxiety and fear. The crippling anxiety is taken away. We can think of Pastor Bart's sermon from last week and how he challenged us with Jesus' words there to move away from fear and anxiety. Rest comes in Jesus. Jesus gives this free rest, this gift of rest, in the midst of our situations and circumstances that may remain the same. But there's true rest in the midst of it. Or secondly, how does Jesus give rest? He gives rest by redefining the frustrations of life, the feelings of futility in our work. He gives rest in the midst of that because of the resurrection, because of the promised hope before us. We know that God has a purpose for everything in our lives. So rest comes with that knowledge that this is not pointless. He gives rest. So we, in our labors in this world, can be steadfast, as Paul says, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my work is not in vain in the Lord. There's rest in that. We may not understand how it's not in vain, but we can believe the words of Jesus. We can believe the words of God that there's purpose in what we do, and that brings rest in the midst of frustration and futility. Or third, and very importantly, another important way that Jesus gives rest is rest from our own sinful and selfish hearts. He says, come, all you who are burdened down. And one of our burdens, a major part of our burden, is our sin. Jesus says, come and I'll give you rest. Well, how does He give rest? He gives rest from our own sinful and selfish hearts. I often feel weary because of my sin. I feel weary because of my selfishness. My internal moral compass accuses me, tells me I'm unacceptable and unworthy, that I don't measure up. And sadly, much of this is true in and of myself. But that's taking Jesus out of the equation. Jesus enters in. He invites me to come. And Jesus enters in and He gives rest from that accusing conscience. He gives rest from those thoughts of unworthiness. How? Because He leads me in the way of life. I don't have to hide my sin and cover my selfishness. Because of Jesus, because of what he did, he willingly took the punishment for all those things that I might be tempted to hide. He took the punishment for these nasty sins. His horrible death covered that. So I can bring it to him again and again, confess my sins. And I know he will be faithful and just because of the cross, because the punishment has been paid to take care of my sins. I am accepted. I am worthy in him. That's rest from this weary soul. As I wake up again and I feel the weariness, I was selfish in this way, I sinned in this way, I was tempted in this way, I was led away in this way, I come back to Christ again and again, and there I find true rest for my soul. This is the central message here. Jesus' rest is rest from my own sin. We go to Jesus each day. We repent of our sins. Identifying them as ours. They are our sins. Claiming these as our sins. But we know through Jesus there's complete cleansing. Perfect restoration. And this is what the Christian does every day. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Being centered on the cross more and more. This becomes the habit of the Christian who finds rest in Jesus. Trusting anew each day in the blood of Christ shed for my sin. The cross is always before me, and in the cross I find true rest. I no longer have to strive for my acceptance. I have rest in Jesus. This lightens the load, right? Lightens the load on my back because I find true rest, amazing rest in Jesus Christ. This is the rest Jesus is talking about here. So we see weariness. Invitation, Jesus' invitation, this rest he gives in our souls, rest to our souls. And then connected to that, Jesus then brings up this yoke or our calling. Let me read the whole passage again. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we first read this and we think, is this a little bit of a trick? Jesus immediately goes from rest to yoke and to another burden, a burden that he wants to give people, right? We know what a yoke is. A yoke is this wooden cross piece that is over the necks of usually two oxen, right? And they plow the field by carrying this burden of a yoke. So that's what this is. This yoke is a burden that Jesus gives his followers. So he says, here's rest, and also here's this burden. Is this what Jesus is doing here? Is this kind of a trick for us here? Four things. We see, number one, as we come to Jesus and find rest, we are given a calling. Jesus has a yoke, a calling for each of his followers. He says, come, find rest, and I will give you purpose. I will give you a calling. We're misunderstanding Jesus here if we just think he's offering a life of ease and comfort and rest in this way. You come to Jesus, you find rest, and you go on your merry way and live as you please. Now, very clearly, read the New Testament, you read the teaching of Jesus. He calls us to self-sacrifice, to mission. We think of his follower, the Apostle Paul. Right, what did Paul say? He said, I will most gladly spend and be spent for others. He died to himself, living for Christ's people and Christ's cause, loving God, loving others. We looked at 1 Corinthians 15:58 earlier. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Titus 2:14, be zealous for good deeds. Jesus comes to his followers who he gives rest and then he calls them to this great task, this high calling that is very difficult in some ways, right? The words of Paul in Philippians 2, what does he call us to? He calls us to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. He calls us to humility of mind, where we regard one another as more important than ourselves, where we don't look out for just our own interest and self-care, but also for the interest of others. We're called to have the attitude in ourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is this yoke that Jesus gives us, this burden he puts upon us to strive to live more and more like him and for him. But this, as he says, is a burden that is light. His yoke is easy. It is even good for us. The only way we are able to do this, step into this calling, is if we know his rest. We get his rest, and it helps us in our calling. Similar to my story, right? The soldier finds this rest in Lincoln, and as he goes back to be a soldier, he's excited about his calling. This gives him perseverance in his calling. That's what we have here. We find rest, and it's only in this rest that we're able to step into this calling. So first, we are given a call, and second, more specifically, our calling is made easy and good because of Jesus. Because of who he is and what he gives, this is what we were made for. Our calling is easy and good. There's nothing better for us. It's not better to not have this yoke upon us. He gives us a yoke that is good for us. It is his kindness to give it. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of the reasons I have been meditating on this passage over the last 3 or 4 weeks is because I was profoundly impacted by a book entitled Gentle and Lowly, written by Dane Ortlund. And this is the first time I can remember, as I'm reading a book, that I finished the book and immediately went back to the beginning to start it again. Well, in his chapter, he has one chapter on Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He describes the nature of Jesus' heart and how that affects our calling, this yoke he gives us. And this is what he says. Only as we drink down the kindness of the heart of Christ will we leave in our wake, everywhere we go, the aroma of heaven. Only as we drink down the kindness of the heart of Christ will we leave down in our wake, everywhere we go, the aroma of heaven. And die one day having startled the world with glimpses of divine kindness too great to be boxed in by what we deserve. So the word translated here in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and Ortlund explains this. This word translated easy, is kindness. Kindness. My yoke is kindness. Again, Ortlund says this. A yoke is the heavy crossbar laid on the oxen to force them to drag farming equipment through the field. Jesus is using a kind of irony, saying that the yoke laid on his disciples is a non-yoke, for it is a yoke of kindness. Who could resist this? It's like telling a drowning man that he must put on a burden of a life preserver, only to hear him shout back, sputtering, "No way, not me, this is hard enough, drowning here in these stormy waters. The last thing I need is the added burden of a life preserver around my body." That's what we are all like, confessing Christ with our lips, but generally avoiding deep fellowship with him out of a muted understanding of his heart. His yoke is kind and his burden is light. That is, his yoke is a non-yoke, and his burden is a non-burden. What helium does to a balloon, Jesus' yoke does to his followers. We are buoyed along in life by his endless gentleness and supremely accessible lowliness. He doesn't simply meet us at our place of need. He lives in our place of need. Come to me, Jesus says. I will give you rest. And we think that's the positive. And then we think, oh, it's a little bit low. He says, I'll give you this yoke. But this yoke is just as positive as the rest. Our Christian calling is not a straitjacket that confines us. Our Christian calling to real zeal and self-sacrifice and intense service and outward focus, this is what we were made for. This is what will bring us most joy. This is our purpose. So when Jesus gives us this yoke, he's calling us to live according to how God designed us to live for his kingdom. His yoke is a non-yoke because this is what we were made to do. In love, he calls us to this life of self-sacrifice. He calls us to this because this is our very purpose. And in our purpose, living out our purpose, we will find true rest and true joy and true blessing. So first, this yoke is our calling. Second, our calling is made easy and good. Third, here, we see the nature of true rest. The nature of true rest. This rest, as I briefly said, is not a life focused on yourself and your comfort and ease. That actually leads to weariness. We live in a culture that inundates us with the importance of self-care. And I get it. We should take care of ourselves. As I think it's Stephen Covey says, you got to sharpen your own saw, which means you have to take care of yourself in order to be able to care for others, right? So I get that. We need to not burn out and take care of ourselves, but we're inundated with this self-care. I think it's so important to balance what we hear from our culture with the example of Jesus and the example of the Apostle Paul and of others in Scripture who gave their lives for other people. Where Paul could say, I most gladly spend and will be spent for your soul. I most gladly will spend myself completely and I will be spent for your soul. I think so often we are too affected by the voices around us, and we will be tempted to care for ourselves so much that we neglect our calling to live lives of self-sacrificial love and service to others. We must balance the importance of self-care with the calling, the clear calling we see in Scripture and the example of Jesus, the example of the Apostle Paul, the calling to self-sacrificial love, to service, and being zealous for good deeds. I thought of the sermon from 2 weeks ago on Easter, thinking about in our weakness, finding strength. How often do we avoid ministering out of weakness because we're tired or getting to the point of exhaustion? I think there should be times where ministry extends through the exhaustion. And as we get to a point of weakness, great weakness, then we will find the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Holy Spirit to do things through us and in us that we cannot do in and of ourselves. Often rest will come to us in the middle of our work, and the Holy Spirit will give us strength to minister and serve and to self-sacrificially love those around us. This true rest that he calls us to is not a life of ease and comfort. No, we were made to live for so much more. But often we lose ourselves in ourselves when we don't see this calling that God has given to us. Fourthly, here as we close, I want to ask those, any who are listening, do you know true rest? Do you know this rest that Jesus offers? Do you know the privilege of living in this calling with great purpose? Have you been freed from your burden? I think this is an important clarification to make again here. The rest Jesus offers is not a life of ease. We've established that. This isn't something where Jesus comes and he says, you know, if you want any rest, if you want a little ease, you can come to me on the side and kind of, I'll give you some nice and good things. No, this rest is for those who come. There are no requirements to come. You can ask any Christian. I didn't have any requirements. I didn't have to clean myself to come. I didn't have to do anything. It's just coming out of my weariness and seeing my need. There are no requirements, but you do have to come. If you remember our story from the beginning, the Union soldier, he could have received this invitation and just said, no thanks. It's hard to imagine that he would, but he could have. And if he refused the invitation, he wouldn't have had the rest. It's the same here. This invitation from Jesus is amazing. But if you don't feel your need, and don't come to him to answer that need, if you don't come and trust in him and follow him and center your life on him, you will not find this rest. So often Jesus is portrayed as this nice option on the side. You come to him for a little bit of rest, a little bit of nice things. That's not the point here. The context of this passage, in the context, Jesus is very clear. There will be a day of judgment, and those who do not find themselves in Christ, connected to Christ, those who do not come to Christ will not find rest and will be on their own in the day of judgment, and they will be burdened down forever, weary forever, because they have not come to Christ. This invitation is before us. Again, Jesus is offering this to us, but it is only for those who come. The rest is only for those who come. If you continue to live on your own, independent of him, you will not find this rest. You will not be able to enter in the beauty of his calling, and you'll be left alone in the day of judgment. Such a beautiful invitation from Jesus to all of us. If you're a Christian, the encouragement is to come again today and come again tomorrow, again and again and again. Come to Jesus and find rest for your soul. So often as we pursue following him in discipleship and ministry, I've felt this myself, I can get to a point of weariness and exhaustion. And part of the problem is I'm not finding my rest in him. I'm doing this out of my own power and strength. And I need this encouragement to come back to him, to find my rest in him, and then enter my calling. So Christian, come again and again to Jesus. If you've never come to Jesus, I find his invitation here amazing. And I pass this invitation on to you. Life is weary. As you live life, you feel the burdens mount on your back. Jesus, the Redeemer, is able to lift the heavy burdens, to take these off your back and lead you to true rest and into this beautiful calling to live for him and his kingdom, to love God and love others. Only through Jesus can we do these things. Well, again, thank you for listening. I leave you with this blessing from Jesus: grace, mercy, and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.